We exalt you, Jesus. You are so worthy. We glorify you and we praise you. Lord, you're so worthy. We exalt you, Jesus. Blessings and glory, praise and honor. Father, we worship you. This is how we fight our battles. It's not flesh and blood, but Lord, it's through your word. It's through your intimacy, through its face to face, through the speaking of your word and the prophesying of your mind in the earth. For all things are possible to him that believes. And we give you all the praise and glory, Jesus. You are so worthy. Jesus, you are so worthy, Lord. I love you, Jesus. We love you. We as a congregation and those that are watching and those that are part of tonight's service, Lord, we worship you. We glorify you. Your presence is in our midst. It's where they're at. We praise you, Jesus. Nothing is impossible. We declare that revival is now. Because of your word and because of everything that you've provided through Christ, Lord Jesus, through your shed blood, the outpouring is now. It's already been released. We receive it. We receive it with our hearts, our minds, our bodies. All that you have provided. Jesus, you're worthy. Jesus, you're worthy. We love you, Lord. We magnify you. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your presence. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I welcome everybody that's watching tonight, all our family out there. Thank you for tuning in and being a part of this service. And all of you that are here, blessings. Why don't you wave at somebody? We're still in a process of following certain protocol and for a little while yet. And all of you out there, receive a great big hug from me, from Candy, from the eldership. Blessings on all of you. Praise the Lord. Miss Marcia? Yeah. Are you?
Yeah.
Okay. Hallelujah. We've got a particular treat tonight. I understand that Miss Marcia, beautiful Miss Marcia Johnson, has a special for us. And so praise the Lord. She's going to minister in song. So hallelujah. Are you going up there or down here? Okay. Hallelujah. So would you welcome all the way from Fort Myers. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Blessings.
Thank you. Praise the Lord. God is so good. This morning was a different situation. I was hugging the throne this morning, of the wrong kind of a throne. And it was really something. I had even texted Pastor and Miss Candy and said, I won't be at church tonight. I'm just catching a healing. And I won't be there tonight. But then it was about 12:30, and I'm laying there, and I'm feeling so bad. And I went, what am I doing? And I jumped up out of bed, and I just started through the house. I went in every room in the house, opened all the closet doors, opened up the doors outside, and I was telling the devil, you get out of my house. We're not having sickness, disease in here. I said, you get out of here. Get off our property. There I am in my lounging clothes. I go outside, walk the property, walk up and down on the dock. I didn't care who was around. I said, I don't care. Devil, get off this property and get out of my life. So here I am. Praise God. God's a healer. But the song I would like to sing tonight is a Christmas song. It's that Jesus came special delivery just for us, for each and every one of us, and that he's all about love, that he came in love, and then he went to the cross because of love, died and rose again from the dead. So we have the victory. So praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Never was anyone like him. Never will one be the same. A tiny babe, infant king, Savior. We worship. He went, love was there also. Where he was, love showed the way. Those who saw knew he was holy, and we see what they saw to this. We're called, we will go gladly. We will not grieve for the past, for we know where we'll be going. Oh, Jesus, for we
you. So wonderful. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. So wonderful. Praise God. Glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Jesus. And I just love that testimony. She didn't know, but it's going to tie in with something that's coming here in just a little bit. But that testimony of just running sickness out of the home. Hallelujah. And being very bold. Glory be to God. So I love the way the Holy Spirit orchestrates stuff, because he always confirms stuff. And it's just, it's perfect. Your testimony is like, you know, if I'd have called you and said, you need to have this kind of testimony, that would have been perfect for the service. But hallelujah. Let me say this. First of all, thank you for all your giving. It's easy for some people in some places in a far off, distant land, not here, to forget their church during holiday season, because they get busy and a lot of different things are going on. But I'm bragging on you. It may be a little bit of manipulation. I don't know. But anyway, don't forget your church and any place else the Lord is telling you. The Lord's had us as a church sowing into some other ministries, not just the ones that we know, but some other ministries that are doing things for children. And it's just good. Hallelujah. It's good to give. Amen. So we were able to make a, I'll just tell you this, we were able to make a donation to Samaritan's Purse. That's Franklin Graham's for children on the behalf of the church the other day. And we just need to just branch out sometimes, you know. And the Grahams have always been wonderful people. And there's some other ministries that are so doing some wonderful things for people at this time of the season. So praise the Lord. If you're watching tonight and you want to give, might be a good time to go to PayPal and do that. But maybe at the end of the service, we'll open it up if anybody else has anything in here to give. So praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Let me make some announcements concerning Sunday. Sunday will, you know, it'll be our Christmas time. I don't expect myself to be doing a lot of preaching. Pastor, you scare me when you say that. No, not really. We normally have, we would have had it this past Sunday, probably our Christmas banquet, but that didn't happen because of certain protocol, and you understand. But this Sunday, we'll just have a kind of a fun time. Tonight's going to be a fun time. Hallelujah. They're all fun. Praise the Lord. You know what I would like for you to do? This is what I'd like for you to do. As many as are going to be here, some people are going out of town, come and take a picture. Dress up a little bit if you'd like. If not, you're dressed up enough if you're in dungarees. But I'd like for you to take a picture up there with your family, or if you're just a single person or a couple or whatever. Or, you know, you can do it on the stage or whatever you want to do. Now, don't take 30 minutes and do a photo, you know, like, how do I look this way? How do I look that? Because I want everybody to get a chance, because I like photos. Please, if I'm not here during that time, I think our family will do one, and we should be here, because it won't be a long service, but you'll have the opportunity. I like to have Christmas photos of people, and especially you out there. You may not be able to take a photo under our Christmas tree, but send me some. I love to see your photos, and so please, you know, you can, some of you've got some of my personal addresses, but you can send it to the church, you can email us one, or you can Facebook us one, and if they don't want to everybody to see on Facebook, they can what, message? They can private message me and just send it that way. And so, but I'll be the only one that gets the joy of seeing it. That's okay. But I'd like to put, you know, I'd like to see your face and see you at Christmas. And please, so, but everybody here, maybe you could put that on Facebook, that we're going to have a photo op here on Sunday. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So you can dress up a little bit and look fancy smancy if you'd like to. But if you don't dress up, you're fancy smancy anyhow. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So there will be no church next Wednesday night. because it's the 23rd and we're getting close to Christmas, and we're giving families plenty of time to do what they need to do and get ready for Christmas. So we'll have church on Sunday, and then we'll have church the following, the Sunday after Christmas. So I should have had that already posted at our website or on Facebook, but maybe we can still, you know, do that as well. Hallelujah. So praise the Lord. Next Wednesday night, if you show up here, you'll be by yourself and the church will be dark, and but we'll, hallelujah. So amen. So get ready for Christmas. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's all in the way of announcements at this time. We're going to have a wonderful time in the next little bit. We're actually going to close the service with some praise songs. But turn with me to Proverbs chapter 28. This is not a lot of scripture tonight, although there might be a little bit more in Psalms in just a moment. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 1. Now, Sunday we ministered on where are the Gadites. And if you haven't heard that message, it's a good one. I can recommend it to you. Gary likes it. He texts me this morning. He's been real busy doing some other stuff and caring for his mom. And praise God, the Lord is bringing her along. And we all listen to each other's stuff and good stuff. And I'm learning from these guys and Pastor Jim, and so many wonderful things going on in the body of Christ. And we have so many friends that are watching tonight. But watch these other guys as well, because they've really got a message for the hour. And Brother Alan Taylor, powerful, powerful messages coming from this man. Sunday's message was about a lot of where the distinction is coming in the body of Christ. The Gadites were a personification of boldness. So we're kind of back in that boldness vein right now for us. And Proverbs 28, verse 1 says this: "The wicked flee," means they run away, "when no man pursueth, but the righteous are as bold as a lion." Now that kind of ties in from Sunday, because the Gadites, the word says that they were men that followed David. They were soldiers, men of war, men fit for war, and that they had lion faces. Now, it doesn't mean that they really had a face that looked like a lion. It meant that they were very bold and that they were very intent on what their mission was. They could not be persuaded otherwise. They had an absolute resolve in where they were going. Here the proverb says that the heart of the righteous is as bold as a lion. The timidity of wickedness is that wickedness walks in fear. It really does. It walks in the trepidation of fear. But ours is, as the closer you get to the Lord, it vanquishes fear, and we become very resolute, very resolved in number one, and first and foremost and above all other things, is becoming conformed to the image of Christ, which interprets out for us is a call for revival. I'm encouraging you, please continue to listen right on through the end of this year and even into next year, the blueprint for 2020. Those are timeless. They were specifically, as we kind of coined them, for what God was doing. There's some subsequent prophecies that have come from this ministry as well. But these are timeless ones, and in how God wants to prepare us, present tense, and how he's been preparing us for the birthing, the absolute. And some of the ones that the Lord has given recently is that this thing is too late. It's already been released. And so in that, there has been, the Lord specifically said, angels have been put on assignment to the winds and the wares and the howls. I really hope Jesus is very real to you. I don't play a game. It's come about in recent history of prayer in my life the early morning hours when I'm praying, and he came to me on this. I didn't develop it. I didn't say, okay, I want to start trying to. But he came to me in this. The Lord, in an inward vision, began to appear to me in my prayer closet and then present himself as wanting to be very, very real in my life. When you pray, now this is a highly offered suggestion. When you pray, don't imagine him someplace else up there. Imagine him and believe and perceive that he's right there. He's right there. And he is right there through the person of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is just as real right there as he is in heaven, if you'll allow him to be. So the Lord came to me and I saw him in my living room in one day, one morning, early in that sense of the word. It wasn't real like earth shaking. It was like, but I caught it and I understood. And then from that time on, he's presented himself to be just right across the way there on my couch. Now some say, well, where's the Holy Spirit? He's omnipresent. Jesus said, I am with you always. I will never leave you nor forsake you. It's just that we don't take literally so many of his promises. A few years ago, it sounded like an open vision that Gary Carpenter said while he was teaching at the prayer center that I believe he had his Bible open, but the Lord come in stage right, or he describes where he was at, came over and put his finger in on the Bible and said, I want to be believed. In other words, I want you to not only believe the reality of the word, I want you to believe me in a real sense. See, he's here right now. Man, I just caught that. Again, he's like, I mean, sometimes when I'm preaching, it's as if I can see him, but I can't see him right there, right out in front. And he's telling me again, and I'm not trying to be spooky spiritual, I'm telling the reality of it, Jesus is here right now. He's here right now. And I'm not talking figuratively like, let's have faith for him. I'm telling you, he's here right now. And so that is going to be interpreted over into divine healings and ministries. And when he said to Gary, I want to be believed, he wanted a reality, a living reality. If you think of him someplace up there, far, far away, that's kind of where your prayers will end up. So it's a living reality. And if you'll let Jesus do this, it's all through the person of the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is standing down on this earth, and Jesus is there through the person of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So Sunday's message, we talked about the Gadites and lion faces. By the way, Candy reminded me, and she corrected me in a loving way. She said, look at this picture. She had it on her computer. You know, I talked about how that when we were in Kenya, that we drove up on that lion that had just made a kill. They say the lionesses actually do the killing. And so he just comes along and, you know, devours what she eat, you know, was killed. So we've got lionesses in this church. Hallelujah. Man, you better watch out. And So they were both laying there, and he was looking, you know, and I said, you know, I said, Sunday, I said, you know, he wasn't scared of me. I was scared of him. But I kept saying, you know, we were in this plexiglass truck. Jeep, he couldn't get to us. Katie said, there was no glass on that thing. It was wide open. And she took me back and showed. The reason why I thought it was is because it had like a frame. It was not like, you know, an open Jeep where there's just no. But it kind of had a frame around the top where you could kind of stand up and hold and look over. But it was totally, I mean, she goes, look at this. You kept saying there's something to separate us. She goes, there wasn't. She goes, I thought about it when you said it. There wasn't nothing. He could have just jumped right in there. And I was like, well, you're right. If Jim heard it, he probably remembered that there wasn't nothing either. So, but yeah, there wasn't anything there. Sunday's message on the Gadites was also a message where we talked about leadership, pastors, and those kinds of things in regards to where the body of Christ is at. And we read a prophecy that the Lord, the most recent prophecy, which actually began to distinguish our place in the body of Christ to pray for the rest of the body and to pray very earnestly. Because I said this, I believe I said this Sunday, I've said it before, but I will tell you this. This whole thing that has taken place in our nation, present tense, concerning the election and where people stand and where pastors and leaders stand, much of it is the reason why that God did not just completely do a miracle November 3rd, is it's revealing a lot. It's not only revealing a lot politically, it's revealing the hearts of pastors and leaders and elders and people. It's a sting operation by God. It's a polarizing sting operation. I told you about one of my good friends that I've known for 30, probably 35 years, a good buddy, and I love him. And I was brokenhearted when I talked to him about post-election and where he stood. And this man is a powerful man in his, you might call it a denomination, known all over the world. And I was like, God, man. And so it's touched me as well. And I wrote, you know, I got in my truck. I had to go to the store or something after that conversation. And I said, Lord, I'm so disappointed, so disappointed. And the Lord said, I am too. But immediately said, I don't want you to give up on him. And I want you to continue to pray for him. And I want you to intercede for him. And he's part of what I'm talking about right now. And Sunday's message was not for us to cast stones, disdain them, but to understand that many of these people and many pastors are in trouble. And I don't say that, again, to disdain them, we realize that with a sincere heart to say, we've got to pray for these people. As many as you may be connected to or you hear, or even people afar off, you don't know them, you'll never meet them, you hear about a big name minister, you know, in a big church, the Lord has had me praying for some of these people because they're in trouble. I'm not saying that they've completely lost out yet, but I'm telling you, there's an absolute, God is showing. And the reason why God is showing this is so that we can know where really everybody stands, and we can understand how important it is for us to pray for them. Because I said Sunday, since the major return, that was that big march that took place in Washington, or the big services that took place for 2 days. And it was a repentful, let's return back to God. And millions of people watched it. I haven't heard, now I'm not in the queue on everything, but I haven't heard of any major ministries where ministers have said, I want everybody to know I've been doing this wrong. I repent. So that bothers me because, you know, it's either going to be one or two ways. It's either going to be through repentance or through judgment. And so in that prophecy, the Lord said, mercy rejoices against judgment. God would really rather they repent. He really would. So it's a sting operation. And so many churches are seeing it. I had some friends that are part of this ministry. They watch us. And I won't say their names. I will just say this. That they texted me this week, and the lady said, you know, we're really, really having a hard time where we're going to church. We don't know how much longer we're going to be able to stay there. And, you know, here's the thing. You're not watching a pastor that has, you know, was raised out of church and did not see the importance and still doesn't really understand the importance of attending a physical building if possible. I had the same problem that Gary Carpenter had growing up. And I'm talking about from the time I was old enough to remember. I was drugged. You know, I had a drug problem. I was drugged to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night. Wednesday night and all revivals. I was drugged, and to think that at 10, 12 years old, I would have said to my mom and daddy, I don't think I want to go to church. When I woke up, amen. Didn't know God counted. Which one was it? I always tell that story. It was Abby. That was Abby or Renee. I did her back there. What are you going to say? But years ago, I was talking about how parents deal with their kids and they give them the counting and stuff, you know, like 1, 2, 3. And it was so funny because we were outside. We were walking outside. And she goes, my mama, the way she does it, she says, 1, 2. Oh, forget the counting. We've always laughed about that. I've always liked it. Oh, forget the counting. So I didn't know anything about counting, you know. And so anyway, I just knew that Daddy said, hey, listen, you know, here's the deal, son. I made you. I can do away with you and make another one just like you. Yes. That's not a problem for me. And I loved my dad, you know, and still do. Praise the Lord. But I got a text from a friend, and they said, look, we're having a problem in our, you know, where we're at, because we have been told, and evidently they were used to giving words, you know, at times. And they said, we've been told from the pulpit, it's been said, do not give any words that has any political bend towards it or persuasion, and don't encourage. Now, I believe this is because I read it again today, make sure I was saying it correctly in the text. Don't even bring forth any encouragements to the body in regards to this election as if there might have been any fraud in it. Don't say anything. And they said, we're having a hard time. And they said, they did the right thing. They went to and they clarified, is that what, in the leadership, that's where we're. And they said, we don't want anybody, because we have people in here that voted for Joe Biden, and we don't want anybody in here offended. Now hear me out on this, please, because I'll say, you'll understand what one of my questions is, why is there people in there that voted for Joe Biden? And I'm not saying that God, listen, God loves whoever voted for Joe Biden as much as he loves those who voted for President Trump. No difference. He loves them all the same. And anyone is always welcome in our churches. In other words, anybody that voted democratically, you know, to the Democratic Party is welcome, always welcome. But here's the thing. Based on what people hear from me as the pastor all the time, and what should have been being, and I don't know those pastors, what had should have been being preached or taught for years, way before the election, leading up to the election, how could anybody of that persuasion stay in that church? In other words, I try to do people a favor, and I'm not boasting, I just try to help them out. I try to let people know where I stand on everything, you know, right away, on all issues concerning righteousness and all kinds of, and here's what the word says. In other words, I think people's time is valuable. I don't think you should go 6 months or 2 years wondering where I stand on issues. I want you to be offended within the first couple of services. Really, I mean, you should be able to say, well, you know, that guy, I don't like that guy. I thought I liked him the first service, but I was a visitor, but based on what he's teaching out of the Word of God, me and him will never get along. Well, see, I just saved you a lot of time and money. You might have gave stuff that you just thought later, I wish I had that money back. I'm trying to do you a favor. So I'm wondering, how do people exist in those churches where there hasn't been enough said that would actually, eventually, when it come to places like elections, you would say, my God, based on what's taught in here, there's no way that I could, you know, be of that persuasion. So listen, going back to what I was saying, I believe in church. If you can find a church that teaches the word. But here's my deal, and I never tell anybody what you should do. I'm just telling you what I would do. I could not stay in a place where I was censored for the right things. And you don't cause an insurrection. You don't stand up in the church and say anything. You don't, you know, you're very respectful. But, amen. And well, what's the remedy, Pastor? There's no church. Listen, I've come to realize people can have church at home through that camera. Hallelujah. And I'm not trying to get people to join my church. I'm just saying, this is where we're at. Praise the Lord. Boldness. Now we're going to have something here. Are you guys ready for this first one? We're going to show a short video, and I'm going to ask you to take your religious caps off and put on your humor cap, and enjoy this. You'll probably recognize this guy in the first few moments. AKA worship leader, one of our worship leaders, and he has sent me his antics through the years, and this is another good one. It's a really good one, and I hope a lot of people are watching. If this goes viral, then the royalties belong to the church. Yes. Hallelujah. So, but this, I want you to see this, and make sure that, you know, we get this, the volume on it from the very beginning. I'll ask you to, you know, stay sharp, watch the captions on, you know, I don't want to give it away, but the things that are written, because it's very, very, very important that you catch that. And also, I want you to see this in three dimensions. I want you to see this as, or two or three dimensions, as our boldness towards sickness, like, you know, Marcia portrayed in her testimony. Our boldness towards the revival, that's important. And our boldness concerning this particular presidential election. So let's get the lights so everybody sees this handsome gentleman. And make sure the volume is turned up plenty. And hallelujah. Oh, wow. That looks like Robert. Okay, whenever you guys get ready.
Oh, hey, buddy. Let me just get in here. Whoa, whoa, whoa. What can I help you with? Oh, yeah, no. I'm cancer, and I would like to just, you know, just get in your body. I just want to get in your body for a little bit. You know, I'll be in and out probably. You know, I'm not going to stay long. You know, I think I'm good. I don't want any cancer in my body, so I think I'm just, you know, if you could just move right along, that'd be great. Oh. Okay. Oh, man, well, that's fine, I guess. I mean, I'm sure I'll be fine. You can probably stay in there for a little bit. Oh, dang. Oh, wow. I do not feel very good. Ooh, I think I gotta go to the doctor or something.
Robert?
Oh, hey, Holy Spirit, man. What's going on?
There's someone in here sleeping in my bed.
Yeah, no, that's cancer. He wanted to come in, and I was like, no, of course, at first. I was like, no, but he persisted a little bit, and he hit me. So, you know, I had to kind of let him in.
Why would you let cancer into your body? This is my temple. This is where I live. I thought we had an understanding.
Oh, well, no, yeah, no, I understand. Your temple, the whole thing, I read about that once. But
he hit me. I mean, he really hit me hard. He hit me right here on my cheek. You can still see it's red, but, you know, obviously I tried. I mean, I did my best, so I just figured, I let him in. Maybe he'll go away later. I don't know. We'll see, you know.
Yeah, no, I understand. I don't understand. I'm sorry. I tried to be polite, but when cancer is trying to come into your body and it smacks you in the face, oh, sad.
Smack it back.
I mean,
You really think I can? I don't think. I mean, what if he hits me back hard? I don't know if I could do that. I mean, I could try, but I don't know. Well, I'm gonna go in here, and I'm gonna take a nap on your bed, and when I wake up, he's gonna be gone. Okay, that's good. Are we good? No, yeah, no, totally. Yeah, no. See what I can do. I can see what I can do. Hey, Cancer, could we talk a minute? I'm sorry. Could we talk? Oh, yeah, no. What's up, man? You know, thanks for letting me crash you, by the way. That was, like, really cool of you. But, yeah, no. We can talk. No, it's nothing major. It's just, you know, I was just recently told by a reliable source that this is actually the temple of God. And not only that, I'm a son of God. And actually, that means that you're not actually allowed to be here. And I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to ask you to leave. So, you know, if you could. But I thought we were cool. I thought I showed you that you can't tell me what to do. Yeah. Actually, oh, get out. You know, it's cool. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I didn't know. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You better get out of here. Oh, hey, man. I noticed you kicked out Cancer. That's pretty dope. I watched the whole thing. I was, you know, everywhere like I be, you know, and I'm proud of you, man. You know, just remember for next time that nothing like that is ever allowed to come into your body. Sickness, disease, none of that. And you're son of God, child of light. I'm there. You're there. It's not even allowed in there, which you know that now. So remember next time, every time something comes along. I know, man. I got you. You're right. And I should have known that. I don't know. I was thinking. He just hit me. You know what I'm saying? So, but no, thanks, man. You know, you're the best. I learned from the best. That was y'all. So you take it easy. I'm going to head back in. Have a good one. Whew. Boy, that Holy Spirit's a nice guy. He's just a cool guy. Who's that? What's up? How you doing?
Hallelujah. That was so good. Great job. To those that are watching and say, "Well, you shouldn't make light. I've had a friend or somebody die of cancer." We're not making light of that. You don't understand if you've ever been. I've been there. To the greatest degree. When I moved here in 1997, Candy and I were trying to move into this house. Her dad was, it was August, her dad was dying of lung cancer. She was spending some time over there at some nights. We had two little girls here, one a teenager, and he was like a father to me. So if you've ever watched someone, and he was born again, spirit-filled, he's in heaven, but if you've ever watched someone go week after week, day after day, and shrivel up on a bed of sickness and die of cancer. You see, here's the deal. Our forefathers, John G. Lake, Smith Wigglesworth, Kenneth Hagin, they had one of the reasons why that they got so much done in turning sicknesses is that they had a vehement hatred and a vehement boldness towards sickness. We're still coming to a place where we've not hated it enough. We've not hated it enough. It's like it's got some kind of investment in our brain that if it goes around, it's going to come around. And these guys had, if you hear Pat, you hear Kenneth Hagin's, you know, like when stuff would come like headaches and stuff, he just, man, no! Right out. No! And John G. Lake, he had so many siblings die of diseases, he finally got where he just got mad. And he just got bold. And I think one of the things that's part of revival is a vehement kind of boldness and an anger that says, No. And we're learning that. I'm not saying I've arrived. I'm just seeing that how important it is that you catch it right to start with it and you just slap it right across the face. Marcia did the right thing. You might have thought, well, that's kind of No, it's not. You tell it, you if you need to open doors and if you need to see that thing leaving, you make it leave. But it's up to you to make it leave. If you toy with it, it'll set in. So, amen. We're going to have, you know, I was going to go through a number of different passages. I think I'm just going to refer them to you. I want to tell you, I've been on a honeymoon lately in the book of Psalms. My God, stay in Psalms. You know, my God, I can't help it. I got to tell you, when you go to Psalms, you know, chapter 2, why does the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. There has never been a time where those that are that think that they're moving in to the White House have ever been so vocal about their stand concerning things that we call light and darkness. And the world that supports them has come to a place where they are celebrating the bans of any kind of related kind of talk of righteousness, or you shouldn't do that, or this. It's a celebration. Let us break their bands asunder. He said this, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. And I could go, Psalm 17 is wonderful. Psalms 18 is wonderful. Like in Psalms 18, you've made him mad. You know, because you've jumped on righteousness. And David goes into, you know, I won't go into that whole psalm, but in Psalms 18, you know, it says, the Lord is my rock, verse 2, and my fortress. Verse 3, I will call upon the Lord, the sorrows of death can pass me. Verse 4, the sorrows of hell can pass me. In my distress I called upon the Lord. As a result of that, then the earth shook and it trembled. The foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken because he was angry. There went up smoke out of his nostrils and fire out of his mouth, and devoured coals were kindled. He bowed the heavens, he came down, he rode upon a cherub and did fly. And he did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place. It goes on and on and on to list how the Lord showed his vehemence against righteousness or his righteous seed being attacked. David goes on in this chapter. This is the chapter that says, by my God, I can run through a troop and leap over a wall. Glory be to God. He's girded me. God has girded me with strength and made my way perfect. On and on and on. It says, in verse 42, then did I beat them small as the dust before the wind. I did cast them out as dirt in the streets. Thou hast delivered me from the striving of the people, and thou hast made me the head of the heathen, a people whom I have not served or known shall serve me. I would say stay in the Psalms. Stay in there, especially there's ones that the Holy Spirit will just explode during this time. We're going to have a few moments of confession, as we have been. We haven't done much recently on confessions of faith concerning revival. We want to continue to reiterate this. And he said prophetically, but we know from his word, that our mission really is revival. This is a subsequent mission right now. It's subsequent to revival. It's to stand for our nation. And he's encouraged us by a lot of different ways in saying, Acts was the glory days of revival in the midst of persecution. So we know we win either way, but I can tell you what God wants. I know what God wants. And he wants us to use our authority, the same authority that we're praying down for, believing God for revival, he wants us to use that first and foremost for revival, and then to turn it like a directive and say, then we're also going to use this same authority and believe in God for our nation. Now, Gay is going to come in just a moment and lead us in some of our revival confessions, and then she's also going to do what we've been doing recently every service. We're going to continue to do them every service. Maybe not Sunday because it's Christmas service. I don't know, but I can tell you this, she's going to do those. And you're going to see, because at the end of this service, we're going to have some praise. And that's not too far off, just after she gets done. But you're going to see something at the close of this service. I'm going to close the service, and then there's going to be a video that is going to be shown for the people that are here that wants to stay. And I hope everybody stays, because our service is going to be somewhat abbreviated tonight. But the people that are watching, I'm not going to close you out. I'm going to tell you where you can go to and find this same 15-minute video that I'm going to have us all watch here tonight. And I'm going to give you time. I'm going to tell you where you can find that. You can write it down and you can access it when this service is over. I didn't feel led to bring it into this service publicly for the service time, but I'm going to tell you where it's at. And what it has to do is, I'm going to tell you this, what it has to do primarily, really the whole thing, is 15 minutes of a very knowledgeable man that is going to tell people the actual distinct paths for President Trump to regain the presidency. And I can tell you this, there are three or four very distinct paths. You say, Pastor, we're just praying in faith. Yes, we are. The word says, against hope, Abraham believed in hope. But sometimes it's wonderful. You know, if there's just no blatant, if there's just no path, you still continue to stand. But the Lord shared with me that some of you, and it's even all of us, enjoy, it's like a blessing from the Lord to see where certain things could, paths could. And you're going to see that even our confessions concerning post-elections confessions are still very relevant to where these paths are available. And I think it will bless you. But right now, Miss Gay, please come and lead us in these revival confessions and post-election confessions.
I want to share my psalm. Psalm 22. A seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he, the Lord, hath done this. And I just fill in the blank, because the next generation coming up, they're gonna read these things in history books, and we're gonna say, we were there and we were praying and the Lord showed up and he did this. He rescued us. He came and delivered us from COVID-19. He came and delivered us. He came and he reversed a presidential election. You know, he came and rescued us, and we'll get to this. Oh, praise you, Jesus. Anyway, let's go to work. Father, we present ourselves to you as ones who are willing to make up the hedge and stand in the gap before you on behalf of this election. We come against the spirit of confusion that would want to impact the way the votes are counted. We declare the spirit of confusion bound now in the name of Jesus, according to the power and authority given to us by God. in the name of Jesus. We speak to you, spirit of confusion. And we command you, silence your tongue. Cease your actions. You will not have an impact on this election. We say and come against every principality, power, ruler of darkness, and spiritual wickedness that represent a stronghold against the man God knows should be elected. We speak to you, spirit of confusion, and command you, be cast out now in the name of Jesus. Jesus has given to us the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever we bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth is loosed in heaven. Satan, you and all your devils are bound concerning this nation and this election. None of your plans for interfering with this election will succeed. We call the Father's will to be accomplished. Jesus has completely and totally defeated you and all your principalities, powers, and devils. Jesus has made an open show of you and triumphed over you for all eternity. He has given to us that same victory. And we call you, Satan, and everything about you and your devils completely, totally, and thoroughly defeated in this election. Satan, you and your devils have lost. The victory of Christ is known in this election. Satan, you cannot think straight to carry out your plans. You speak against other devils. Your house is divided. It cannot stand. It has come to an end. You are thoroughly and utterly defeated. You walk in blindness. Division has filled your camp. Lord, make your words in our mouths fire. And may the plans of the enemy be as wood, consumed and devoured by that fire. Set ambushments against all of those who are trying to interfere or alter the outcome of this election. May confusion fill their camps. May they devastate each other. May their plans and agendas collapse at their feet. Just as you revealed to Elisha the plans of the Syrian army. Expose the plans of the ungodly who are trying to corrupt this election. Father, as heirs of salvation, we ask that angels be dispatched to assist these things to be done. Angels, go to your assignments as the Father directs. Enforce the victories we have spoken this day and drive back the forces of evil. Father, we offer up a prayer in the Spirit and ask that the Holy Spirit pray through us your perfect will concerning the outcome you desire for this election. Jesus, the government of your kingdom rests upon you. Likewise, we say that the government of this nation rests upon you. May the man the Father wants as our president be elected. May all the votes cast for him be brought to light. Father, this battle is not ours. It is yours. You are with us. Therefore, we praise you, Lord. We worship you, for your mercy endureth forever. We praise you, Lord, for the beauty of your holiness. We praise you, Lord, for our salvation. We exalt you and glorify you for the victory in this election. Hallelujah to your glory, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Therefore, amen. We lift up the bloodstained banner over this city, written in blood. On this banner are these words: Immokalee is in revival. Immokalee is in revival. Jesus is Lord over Immokalee. Jesus is Lord over Immokalee. And where Jesus is Lord, the Father's will is done. Therefore, Father, have your way. Not just 30-fold. Not just 60-fold. But 100-fold. And again we say, lost be saved. Empty be filled. Captives go free. Blind see. Deaf hear. Dumb speak. Lame walk. Maimed be whole. Dead live. In the name of Jesus. For thine is the kingdom. Thine is the power. Thine is the glory. Forever and ever. Father, your will be done in Immokalee. Just as it is in heaven. As in heaven, so in the earth. As in heaven, so in Immokalee. Immokalee is saved. Immokalee is saved. To your glory, Lord.
Hallelujah. Praise you,
Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So please stay around. We're going to have a few minutes, just a few minutes of some praise. So anybody that, you know, at home, please stay around. And all of you that are here, you can come up to the front. We've got, there's plenty of distance. So hallelujah. But let's just worship the Lord in praise for just a few moments. Then I'm going to close out the service, give you a place where you can go and watch if you'd like what we'll be watching here for just a few more minutes. And then I will see the rest of you on Sunday. But stay with us and let's worship the Lord. Hallelujah. In the beauty of holiness. Hallelujah. Amen.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And oh, these are days of great trials, of famine and darkness and sword. Still we are the voice in the desert crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Behold, he comes riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice. It's a year of jubilee, and out of Zion till salvation comes. Oh, and these are the days of Ezekiel, whose dry bones becoming as flesh. And these are the days of your servant David, rebuilding a temple of praise. And oh, these are days of the harvest. Oh, the fields are as wide in your world. Still we are the laborers in your vineyard, declaring the word of the Lord. Behold, there's no God like Jehovah. 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 And behold, he comes riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. Oh, at the trumpet call, lift your voice. It's a year of jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes. Behold, he comes riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. Oh, at the trumpet call. It's a year of jubilee, and out of Zion till salvation comes.
Glory, glory, hallelujah. Woo! Glory, thank you, Jesus. Glory, glory, glory. Worship, hallelujah. We worship you, God. Hallelujah.
Joy of the Lord. We're saying yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, amen. I'm pressed but not crushed, persecuted, not abandoned. I'm struck down but not destroyed. I am blessed beyond the curse, for his promise will endure, that his joy is going to be my strength. Though the sorrow may last for the night, his joy comes in the morning. I'm trading my sorrow, I'm trading my shame, I'm laying them down for the joy. Lord, yes, yes, Lord, amen. We're singing, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, amen. Oh, I'm trading my sorrow. I'm trading my shame. And I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. And I'm trading my sickness. And I'm trading my shame. And I'm laying them down for the joy of the
Lord, hallelujah.
Worthy, oh God.
Praise you, God.
Death, no life, no angels, no powers, present things, all things in the future. Height, no death, no any created thing could separate me from your love. Death, no life, no angels, no powers, present things, all things in the future. Height, no death, no any created thing could separate me from your strong love. Ooh, I know it's your love. It's written on my heart. And there is no blood that could quench this love. Oh, I know it's your love. Oh, it's stronger than. Death could never take me from this love. Oh, 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 oh. I know the end of the story. I come back from the wilderness. I'll be leaning on my beloved. I know the end of the story. I come back from the wilderness. Be leaning on my beloved. I know the end of the story. I come back from the wilderness.
Oh, because your love is so high. Your love is so wide. Your love is so deep. And your love is so long. Your love is so high. Your love is so wide. Your love is so deep. Your love is so long, and your love is so high. Your love is so wide. Your love is so deep, and your love is so long. And death, no life, no angels, no powers, present things, all things in the future. Height, no death, no any created thing could separate me from your love. Death, no life, no angels, no powers.
Get Robert a break. He starts wearing those hands out after a while. Hallelujah. Thank you so much. Stick around, and we're going to go into a video in just a moment. I want to tell the people out there in just a moment, we'll be we won't be leaving you. You'll still be with us in our hearts, but I'm going to give you a place to go to. So you might want to grab a pencil, pen, or just type it into your, you know, smart device. So hallelujah. Amen. And then at the end of the service, as anybody in here that wants to give, there'll be offering baskets up here, or you want to see candy on your way out, however you want to do it. So hallelujah. What we're going to watch, and what I'm going to give you an opportunity to watch, is about 15 minutes long, and it's by Michigan's Matt Sealy, S-E-A-L-Y, S-E-A-L-Y. And if you Google Matt Sealy, Michigan's, okay, here it is, Michigan's Matt Sealy explains Trump's path to victory. It'll come up. Now, the Lord wouldn't have me to do, you know, bring this into as far as to show it. Not that there's nothing really wrong, but it wasn't a part of our service tonight. But I want you to understand something before you watch this. This is not, when he explains these, this is not coming from some Bubba somewhere. This is somebody very knowledgeable. And these are all very distinct constitutional. In other words, it's in our Constitution. These paths are all right there. And they're not like Star Wars stuff. They're very, very, and I'm not saying that this is the way it's going to happen. I'm not prophesying. I want you to understand some levels of natural hope. Our end game is spiritual hope that sees when there's no way possible. But then at some point, out of what seems to be no way possible, the dominoes will start going to effect in the natural. Certain things will, it has to be, in other words, confession and faith against, let's say, cancer. Eventually, the diagnosis is you don't have it anymore in your body. So it does show up in the natural. So hope in the spirit and faith in the spirit eventually does have some natural, you know, consequences, and it does start happening in the natural. So glory to God. I will say this, and this is not to elevate this pulpit, but I can tell you this. Certain things that were prophesied recently have already started coming to pass. If you'll remember, and I don't have that prophecy in front of me, but it was the war for revival, I think, was the prophecy. And it said over the next few months, you're going to start seeing in certain places, not all places, but in certain places, that there will be trouble that will resemble, and this is not verbatim, it could resemble war zones, except for the prayers of God's people. Now, this past weekend, some of that has already started. This past weekend, there was a march in Washington for President Trump. I don't know how many of you are aware of that. It was estimated there was going to be, and I don't know how many showed up. There was estimated originally was going to be from 100,000 to 1.5 million. Now, I know that's a big sparse. I know that's a big, but I'm just saying there was tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of people there. At the end of that march, as the evening went on, there was a clash between Antifa and what is being another group called the Proud Boys. And there was 23 people injured, 4 stabbings. And I know this is negative news, but it is just news of the prophetic being fulfilled. Things are going to escalate, I believe, in our nation before they get better. So, Michigan's Matt Sealy explains Trump's path to victory. We love you. Stay in prayer. Stay in the spirit. Have a very Merry Christmas. I hope we'll see you again on Sunday. And this will conclude our service with you present time. And I hope you go at least at some point in the next, 24 hours and watch what I'm telling you. And I believe it'll add some natural hope, maybe with some spiritual hope. well, for sure, spiritual hope. So praise the Lord. God bless, and we will see you Sunday. Amen.